We're looking at this paper contrasting local projections and VARs for estimating structural parameters. The core idea is how the choice of econometric model affects DSGE estimations.
Exactly. The paper really dives into the small sample performance, which is where LPs and VARs start to show their differences, even if they agree in population.
The big takeaway for me is the bias-variance trade-off. LPs apparently have a lower bias in their impulse responses. That sounds like a clear win, right?
I'm not entirely convinced it's a clear win for all scenarios. While LPs do often have lower bias, especially at shorter horizons, VARs can offer lower variance. That trade-off is central.
Wait, why would lower variance in VARs be desirable if they have a higher bias? Especially when we're trying to match these responses to a structural model.
That's where the estimation method comes in. If you're using IRF matching, then yes, lower bias from LPs is a significant advantage. You're comparing estimated IRFs directly to the model's theoretical IRFs.
Okay, so IRF matching is sensitive to the bias of the estimated IRFs. That makes sense. You want your targets to be as close to the truth as possible.
Precisely, but for indirect inference, the game changes. Indirect inference is designed to be robust to some forms of misspecification, including the bias in the auxiliary model's estimated IRFs.
Robustness to misspecification? Why would the bias of the VAR IRFs be irrelevant for indirect inference? That doesn't seem right. Doesn't bias still distort the estimation?
The paper argues that indirect inference approximates the small sample distribution of the target moments through simulation. So, if the VAR's higher bias is consistent in both the actual data and the simulated data from the DSGE model, it can effectively cancel out.
So, indirect inference benefits more from VAR's lower variance, even with its bias, because it's comparing apples to apples, even if those apples are slightly bruised.
A good analogy. It makes the estimated structural parameters more tightly pinned down if the variance is lower, even if the auxiliary model itself is biased.
What about the lag length choice? The paper mentions P. How does that factor into this bias variance discussion? Does increasing the number of lags make VARs perform more like LPs?
Absolutely. The study confirms that LP responses are largely independent of the lag length when the true shock is observed. VAR responses, however, become more similar to LPs as P increases, especially in terms of bias reduction.
So if P is large enough, the differences between LP and VAR targets become negligible? Does that mean the choice of auxiliary model matters less then?
For IRF matching, yes. The difference in J, the objective function value, between LP and VAR shrinks with larger P. But it comes at a cost for VARs. Their variance increases.
A larger variance in VARs when P increases. That means the no free lunch result from other literature holds here too. Does that still favor indirect inference with VARs?
It does, because indirect inference benefits from tightly estimated responses, regardless of their bias. So, a small P VAR with its lower variance is often superior for indirect inference.
That's counterintuitive. Conventional wisdom often suggests more lags for better model fit. This paper is pushing for fewer lags for VARs under indirect inference.
It's about what you're optimizing for. For indirect inference, the robustness to bias means that minimizing variance becomes key. If the lags are too long, you just introduce more noise.
What about small sample sizes? Many macroeconomic applications use limited data, say T100 observations. How does that exacerbate the issues?
Small sample bias in LPs becomes much more pronounced with fewer observations. This significantly worsens IRF matching performance.
And if we apply bias correction to the LP and VAR responses, as some papers suggest, does that level the playing field or make things better for IRF matching?
Bias correction terms are very effective for IRF matching. The objective function value, JEE, can be significantly smaller, but for indirect inference, bias correction isn't as relevant. Its robustness already handles much of that.
I'm still trying to grasp how indirect inference is so robust. Let's talk about identification assumptions. What if the shocks are recursively identified, but those assumptions are incorrect for the DSGE model?
This is a critical point. For recursive monetary policy shocks in the Smets and Wouters model, the zero contemporaneous impact assumption is actually false. The estimated IRFs are misspecified.
So IRF matching should perform poorly then, right? Because it's trying to match biased targets that don't reflect the true model dynamics.
Exactly. The overall performance for IRF matching gets significantly worse. But here's the kicker. Indirect inference, surprisingly, often performs better than even the observed shock case.
Better? With misspecified targets? That completely doesn't add up. Why would misspecification lead to better results for indirect inference?
It's because imposing those incorrect zero restrictions can lead to lower variance in the estimated IRFs. Indirect inference, prioritizing lower variance due to its robustness, capitalizes on this. It finds a parameter set that best matches these tighter, albeit biased, simulated moments.
That's a strong argument for indirect inference's practical utility. It suggests that even with less than perfect identification, it can still deliver better structural parameter estimates.
It truly highlights its strength as an estimator when facing real-world data limitations and potential auxiliary model misspecification.
What about noisy direct measures of shocks, like proxies with measurement error? Does that also fall under indirect inference's robustness umbrella?
Not as straightforwardly. Classical measurement error leads to attenuation bias in the estimated IRFs for both LPs and VRs. This worsens the structural estimation for both IRF matching and indirect inference.
So, robustness to misspecification doesn't fully cover measurement error. Is there a way around that?
The paper points to Stock and Watson's unit effect normalization. By fixing the shock's impact to 1%, it helps correct the attenuation bias in the IRFs.
And that improves the structural parameter estimation?
Yes, especially for IRF matching, because it directly addresses the bias in the targets. For indirect inference, the improvement is there but less dramatic, as bias is less of a concern to begin with.
So, if I'm a researcher trying to estimate a DSGE model, what's the primary recommendation here? Lean towards indirect inference, and if so, with which auxiliary model?
The main lesson is to rely more often on indirect inference. It's robust to invalid identification, small sample issues, and incorrect lag selection. And generally, using a VAR with lower variance as the auxiliary model for indirect inference is the preferred choice.
Even if that VAR has a higher bias in its raw IRFs compared to an LP.
Correct. The robustness of indirect inference makes the lower variance from VARs a key advantage in achieving more tightly estimated structural parameters.
But if I absolutely have to use IRF matching for some reason, then I should prioritize LPs because of their lower bias?
That would be the second best approach, yes. And definitely consider bias correction for those LP estimates, especially with smaller sample sizes.
It feels like the paper is making a very strong case for indirect inference over IRF matching, mainly due to its statistical foundations and robustness.
It certainly does. It provides a comprehensive analysis of the trade-offs and gives clear guidance on how to navigate the complexities of structural parameter estimation.